Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup. That's the title of an Amazon best-selling book that every investor, executive, first-time entrepreneur, or business owner needs to read. Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup is not just a how-to book. It's a roadmap detailing the risks and potential blind spots that await you as you present your new products or services to the world at large. The author of Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup, Ari Brish, is a cross-functional expert in commercializing innovation, creating growth strategies, and overall change leadership. With Ari's rich experience, you couldn't get a better guide. And using Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup as the roadmap, your success is closer than you think. Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup, available at Amazon or on Ari's website, www.cxo360.net. That's www.cxo360.net. Get your copy today.
Listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome to Mind Your Own Business, the show that every week we bring you those golden nuggets laying in the stream that we call business and success. I am so happy today to be bringing you a brand new CEO of a brand new type of company I didn't even know existed until this show. I love this. This is what I love about doing this show is I get to meet some of the most interesting CEOs, entrepreneurs, very successful people from all over the world, as you know. And this week is no exception. I bring to you, listeners, this week, a company called The Expressory. The Expressory, and I can hardly wait for this young lady to tell you all about it. So Jamie Shibley is the CEO of The Expressory. Welcome to Mind Your Own Business, and how the heck are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited already. Listen to this energy.
Well, we are certainly glad to have you. And I am dying for my listeners to understand this because, see, I am one of those guys. I really like that connection. I like the fact is, you know, my wife used to call me a mud puddle. She said, you're about a half an inch deep, but you're 2.5 miles wide because you can talk to anybody for 5 minutes about anything. But there are those handful of clients, those handful of relationships that are super deep, that get way down into the roots. And I am so excited to talk about it. So, Jamie, why don't you take just 5 minutes and tell us a little bit about The Expressory and just a little bit about you and a little bit about Expressory. And then we're going to dive right into the origin story, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Well, The Expressory is really a relationship marketing concierge. It's your relationship building concierge, right? What we're here to do is we're here to help the business leaders of the world, the people in positions of influence and success, really express their thoughtfulness and generosity and build longer term relationships. Because in this digital age, it's just become too easy for these relationships we say we have to be real surface level. And so we're trying to change that and get back to a little bit of the old school way of doing business, right? Where you really know people.
That is so amazing. So I am a gentleman of a certain age, shall we say, because I don't like to tell everybody how much gray hair I actually have. But in my day, there was no such thing as a like or an email or, I mean, even a fax when I first started. You had to actually, you know, for all of you listening right now that don't know this, there's this thing called a pen and paper. And then you would actually write something out. You would put it in an envelope. And then we had this thing called a stamp. and you would actually go to the post office and drop this letter in a slot, and 3 to 5 business days later, it would show up on your friend's doorstep, and they would actually get to read it. I mean, I know I'm being a little tongue in cheek here, but I mean, it wasn't about the likes, and it wasn't about the how many Facebook followers do I have, or how many impressions or clicks or any of that stuff didn't matter. So is that what you're talking about? You're talking about getting right back down to the let me say something and do something that is actually tactile. I mean, you can your thoughts and your ideas are actual things, right?
In someone's hands, exactly. I mean, and listen, I grew up in small business. My grandfather owned a flower shop for 40 years, so I'm with you. I have actually started doing some speaking, and I tell that story. Like, you built your business based on who you knew, right? There was that thing called the Yellow Book, right?
We remember the Yellow Pages, yeah. The Yellow
Pages. Like, your business was created based on the people you knew, and everyone mattered. And now we're taught that you've got to do all this content. You've got to be social. You've got to be out there because we can speak to the masses, and that's great. But at the end of the day, who are you really speaking to? And I think we're experiencing a time where the consumers, our customers, they're kind of over it. They want to know you know them, you see them as humans, and not a number in your database.
Wow, that is so cool. I can hardly wait to dive into that in a lot more detail. But let's, my listeners, as you know, if you've ever listened to the show, my listeners are huge fans of the origin story. I get emails and direct messaging, and all of the social media comments for my show are almost always around the origin story. So let's dive in a little bit to the past. Let's go back to, you already mentioned your grandfather owning a flower shop and that you kind of grew up in the business world. When did you first realize that, you know, A, you wanted to be an entrepreneur, and B, that you actually had the idea and kind of put your feet on the path for becoming the CEO of the expressory, of understanding what a relationship concierge is? Or I think you're actually kind of defining a new space personally, but we'll talk about that. But just dive in and tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I hope it's exciting. When did I decide I wanted to be an entrepreneur? A, happened many years ago, and B, took forever to get to. Like, when did it happen? So growing up.
So you're an entrepreneur, because that's everybody's story. So that's exactly. Oh, I had this idea when I was 2, but I didn't actually start until I was 32.
Yeah, right? There's kind of this push that happens. Yeah, I used to work in the summers and during the busy holidays in the flower shop with my grandpa. And I was just starting college when he was finally ready to retire. And I wanted to take it over. And they decided, my grandma and grandpa both said, you know, no, it's a really hard life being an entrepreneur and running a small business. And you work your butt off, and for what? And so they said, you know, in today's world, you're going to go a lot farther getting an education and going to work for a big company. And, you know, there was a lot of disappointment then. And the people, I remember when the people bought it from him, she ended up getting really sick, and it didn't last very long. But I still remember following along because I was close to them and always thinking, ooh, I would have done this, and I could have done this, and I could have done that. But, you know, I spent 20 years working for a Fortune 100 company in the area. It was the best company in our area, and it was wonderful. I had so many experiences I obviously never would have had, and clearly it's what brought me to where I am, because without it, you know, there are definitely things I wouldn't know. But you spend 20 years, that was during a time when there was business loyalty, right? And that company was truly built on relationships as well. It was about who you knew. And I will never forget the day that the leadership in the organization decided it's time for them to pivot. And we're going to, in order to continue to be competitive, we've got to change. And they stood there and said, we are too relationship based. This has got to change. We've got to remain competitive. And I remember it hitting me in the gut then. but not really knowing why. It's like, well, how do you take a company that's built on 20 years where half of the workforce has been there? I'm sorry, 20 years was my number. It's built on hundreds of years. But, you know, half the workforce was there 30, 40 years, and say it's not about the relationships. Something seemed off. And it was about that time that the culture started changing, and I realized it was time for me to find something else. And I was working in e-commerce and at the time, and I was either going to go into a different industry, or one morning I woke up and it was 6 a.m. and I said to my husband, I've got this idea for a business. And he said, oh boy, what? And when he didn't laugh and when he didn't say, okay, that's great, and kind of move on, I think his response was, well, that's interesting. I was like, okay, this might be something. Now, here's the thing, Scott. When I left that corporate position, this was not the business I launched 4 years ago. So I left and I thought, okay, it's time for me. Why am I not doing this myself? Like, I could take my expertise and do something online. I've always been a maker. I've always scrapbooked. I've always been about memories. I've always been about making things and giving. Okay. And so I thought, I'm going to take that and try to revive the greeting card industry a little bit with a play on the technology. So what if Stitch Fix of the world, right, where you have all these curated clothing delivered right to you, what if somebody did that for your greeting card needs so that the cards you needed for the upcoming month or the upcoming occasion were delivered right to you? It was smart enough. It learned how you shopped, all that kind of stuff. So we went out and invested in this technology, launched it, and 6 months in, it was just crickets. I thought, oh boy. So I got a business.
You are an entrepreneur. Now there's your second, there's the second lesson of entrepreneurism is perseverance.
Yeah, right? Like, wow, come on. So I got a business coach and I said, what's going on? And she said, well, you're asking the right question, because the reality is too many people think they're going to start a business and it turns into their hobby. And so she asked more questions like, what's happening when you market this? I was out and about a lot with it. And I said, well, the craziest thing is happening. I have all these business owners, like of all the people in these rooms that are talking with me, these business owners keep sticking around the longest. And they keep saying to me, I love your work. Can you just write it and send it for me though? And I told her, I said, what is that? They're totally missing the point of the cards. And there was this long pause and she said, really? Who's missing the point?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. We want to get your coach on the show.
It was really eye-opening. Okay. So when you listen to that, right? And when I step back and I'm coachable, like, okay, I get it. I step back and I took some time to think about, well, why are they asking this? What are they looking for? And I found some people to pilot it with. And sure enough, when I started to figure out a service, how to help these people, I started signing customers. And you realize that, okay, well, clearly that's the direction the market's asking for. That's where I need to go. So in January, the first brand was called The Cartsierge. That existed for maybe 9 months, a year. And the Expressory was born in January 2018. And at that time, our service offering was you sign up with us and you select that maybe you want 10 cards a month. And we will write them for you. Now, all of our cards are handwritten and we mail them for you. So you could choose that you're going to send my birthday messages for me. You're going to do anniversary mailings. Whatever that looked like, however we could serve you, we would do that. And it ended up evolving very quickly into gifting. And what I've learned is that I guess there's this skill of really helping people create meaningful opportunities to showcase their thoughtfulness, right? So we have this ability and there's certain things we can tap into. There's kind of a formula to what we do and how we create a gift that is lasting. It's something tangible that's people are going to put on their desk They're going to save the card. They're going to put this stuff up, and they're going to think of you every time they look at it. And that's really where our service has evolved into this concierge and helping business leaders.
Wow, that is amazing. There's so much there I want to unpack. I have so many questions for you now. That's so great. I love it. So first of all, the understanding and being coachable and doing that, you know, that hard pivot to the right when you were, you know, you weren't solving the problem of going out and buying a card. You were solving the problem of, I don't know what to say. I don't have, you know, the buying the card wasn't the difficulty.
Right.
You know, we probably, I'm going to tell you is that this is just from my own human experience of being married to a wonderful woman for a quarter of a century. And I know how hard she struggles. We have drawers full of cards. I mean, she buys cards when we're at the store for no reason, right? Just because she knows that she will need a card to send to somebody for a birthday or an anniversary or a death in the family or a wedding or whatever it is. So we have drawers full of cards. The struggle is, what do I say? I mean, I have watched her agonize over, you know, what is it? You know, 40 words? I mean, you don't put a lot of words in a greeting card. But I've watched her agonize over what to say. And especially if there's multiple ones each day that, you know, you have to write out. And she goes, but I don't want them to sound alike. I said, honey, they don't know each other. They will never, ever, ever talk to each other. They'll never know that you wrote exactly the same thing in both cards. Oh, but I mean, I have seen that struggle. The struggle is real, as they say.
Right. No, really. And so you're absolutely right. The things that we hear frequently are, well, then I got to get the card out and I got to figure out if I have a stamp. But once I have all that, then what do I say? And now I just kind of put it off. And eventually it's just too late and it doesn't matter anymore.
And once you're late, it's like it doesn't really matter. So I love it. So you're solving the problem of I have to go buy a card, you know, get an envelope, put a stamp, and then I have to drive it to the mailbox. Or because today's world that we live in, there's not a lot of mailboxes available anymore. I mean, when I was a kid, there was a payphone and a mailbox at every corner. Right. And now it's sort of like, you know, with the postal service the way it is, you don't see your postman anymore. Your mailbox is probably down the road in some little cluster, right? There's probably, you don't have a mailbox on the side of your house as we used to. And mail carriers aren't the same as they used to be. And you don't have the little flag you put up and drop a mail, put something on an outgoing mail in your mailbox as often. At least that's the way it feels. Now, I could be completely wrong, and I'm not dissing the postal service by any stretch of the imagination, but it feels like there's that inconvenience of having to go find some place to mail the letter or the card. But on top of that, you're solving the biggest problem, and that is, what do I say to Aunt Nancy, who I haven't seen in 20 years, and it's her birthday?
Yeah, right. In business, right? How do you express that you are supporting someone going through a tough time? Or you know, that might just be a business relationship and I don't quite know what's appropriate.
I'm dying to know about your feedback though from your customers when it comes to I'm gonna send an empathetic text or email to the actual, you know, receiving of the card. I mean, that to me has got to be, there's got to be just an overwhelming amount of gush, you know, of emotion so tell us a little bit about that when somebody goes to the mailbox and there's that card.
Right. Well, you know, what we always say is, okay, when was the last time you showed up at your, you know, one of your customers' places of business and saw your text message pinned up behind them? Or your email on the refrigerator, right? Like, it doesn't happen.
Exactly.
But these, okay, so the post office it was probably Temple University initiated the study, but the United States Post Office on their website somewhere showcases the research done by Temple University that says that physical mail pieces actually trigger something in the part of the brain that is connected with emotions. Right. So actually having that physical piece in their hands immediately connects you with their emotions. So you are going to be remembered. And when you talk about the change in the experience of our mailboxes and I mean, there was a day when we were tired of going to the mailbox and throwing away 300 pieces of junk mail. But now it's our email inboxes. We're tired of sifting through the clutter.
So true. Okay,
so where, how are you standing out when you're just emailing that message of, you know, outreach?
Yeah. And when you have 72 newsletters that come in every day, how do you stand out in your newsletter?
Right. So, I mean, you want to know the response. Here's what I tell people. If you're not getting a thank you for the thank you, you're doing it wrong, because that's the kind of response we get. People re-engage just because of a card alone. I've had people say they've sent a thank you card for the thank you card in some cases.
Wow. That's okay. Silly.
Like,
that could go on forever.
Sure. We'll just keep going back and forth.
All right. So I have a couple of other questions. So this, first of all, thank you for just migrating right in from the origin story to where we are today. So I want to send a card to somebody, and I'm thinking about the time, the inconvenience, what I have to do, the activities that are involved and everything else. So when I look at it at the end of the day, you know, I have got X number of amount of time involved and all that other stuff, but I also want to, it's more than just the tangible, tactile piece of mail that comes in the United States Postal Service. It's still more than that. There has to be something. How do you then talk to your client? How does your client convey to you who this person is, what they mean to them, how, and you say they're handwritten. I mean, do you physically, your staff physically writes out, or is it a font that looks like a, I mean, just so talk to us about that service. And then how do you know what to say so that it feels like it's actually coming from me and it's not just a canned email response in a card?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's two sides of that. So first of all, yes, it's absolutely 100% handwritten. I get that there are the robots out there and they're getting better and better, but we do have people who tell us, and I'm also one of them, like, you can tell when that's still a robot.
Of course.
And so, yeah. You know, there's still something to that when it's handwritten. Our cards are also handmade. They're made by women across the U.S. who make. And so our designs are three-dimensional, textured, layered. You know, I mean, there's something to that as well. Something that's made by hand, and it doesn't matter if it's made by your own hand. Something that's made by hand is lasting. People are not as quick to throw it away.
So this is a piece of art. This is not a Hallmark card you're talking about.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. So now you've taken me to a whole nother level of opening up questions. Okay. So, and then you also talked about, now you're engaging with makers all over the country. So you're actually, I mean, you're saving the world here. Wow. This is crazy. I mean, this is like, that's like going to a third world country and having the ladies make, you know, Afghans and then selling them to support their children. I mean, this is crazy. I had no idea that the expressory was so deep. So talk a little bit about that before we get off that subject.
Well, I mean, again, that's like, that was my love. That's something I do to, you know, for calm, for relaxation. I love to make. Grew up doing it. And so I know so many people also enjoy that. And so here was a way for me to put their efforts to work, something they love. Let's go ahead and collect all of these beautiful things and put them to work. Because as I said, there are certain attributes of gifts that ensure that the bond is deeper. And that the meaning, the message, everything that you were trying to convey is longer lasting. And DIY, anything made by hand or made for specifically for you, is lasting. And you know, recently I started having these. I started video conversations with clients and pretty much anybody else. What I feel is that, and I bet Scott, if you looked around where you are right now, I have a feeling that everybody has a gift, something they've been given over time sitting around that has an incredible story to it. You can tell
me. My desk right now, sitting at my control board, I can see 30 items because my desk is full of them. I mean, that's exactly what you said. Exactly. Because I've had guests send me things from their show or from our time together on a radio show, and they'll send me something that is truly meaningful. And it's thoughtful. I mean, I had a lady who made a microphone out of ceramics, and she sent it to me, and I'm like, and it's sitting right here on my desk, and it's got a terrific story behind it. It's so cool. I know exactly what you're saying.
Exactly. And so what we try to do, this is the other piece of, you know, our service. It's more than just the card. We do a lot of gifting. We execute gifts. But when we work with people, what we want most of the time is we want to come up with, it's got to have that meaning. And so there are certain attributes you can tap into, DIY being one of them, that will make sure that when you're giving a gift, it has such a story to the recipient that it's going to be saved. Milestones. I mean, just what you're referencing alone. Look at what people did. Okay. We have a lot of podcasters that that are clients. And so when they interview people, they have us execute their thank yous. Sometimes it's just a card. Sometimes it's a card accompanied by a gift. And one of the things that they do is they acknowledge the conversation. So they show up and they say, you know, maybe it's a book that's related to the topic. Maybe it's a marketing podcast, right? Or and so the book, in the message that we send, it says something like, you know what? I'm still thinking about the conversation we had. I love where that went. I'm thinking, take a look at chapter 6 in here. I think you'll really enjoy that. Well, now, look what you did. You showed up, first of all, with a surprise. And secondly, you acknowledged this experience we had together because I really enjoyed our conversation as well. And so I'm going to be reminded about this every time I look at that book.
I got to step up my game, obviously.
I mean, you've got your own stories that way. It's great.
Well, that is amazing. So I love the fact is, so I just want to be clear. I'm now starting to get a bigger picture in my mind, and my mind is just reeling. So it's not like you go to Neiman Marcus and you grab a scarf and you put it in a box and you send it. I mean, that's when I think of a concierge shopper or something, but where I was missing the point earlier is the relationship word in relationship concierge, because what you're doing is you're having a conversation with the sender and saying who, what, why, and when, and then you curate an actual, it could be a custom piece, or it could be something that is directly tied to that emotion. And then it's either a card, a idea, depending on your budget, I'm assuming it's something of this nature, but this is more than just a shopping experience. This is that deep rooted connection. So this isn't something you would do for your 9,000 people in your database. This is for the people you would do for the 9, you know, best customers type of thing.
Right. Or the people that you think have the most potential. Right.
Right.
So
exactly.
One of our customers, you're absolutely right. You know, what we want to do is we recommend the story. So that's exactly how our clients engage with us. We have an ongoing service set up, and they're able to come to us and say, okay, you know, we want to get in front of our top 10 who haven't yet purchased or done business with us. Here's the idea. Here's the theme. Here's our budget. What do you recommend? And what we do is we go away and we put together maybe 3 ideas with some stories. Here's the reason we're recommending you send this gift. One of our favorites is recently, actually, we're just working to launch it for, we usually will curate our own set of like seasonal gifts so that it's a certain price point. People can just jump in and say, you know, I just want to send a gift and we can wing the story. But right now, you know, we've got some seasonal. They're seed poppers is what they're called. So they look like lollipops. You plant them in the ground and they attract hummingbirds, bees. There's different sets. Now that might sound really silly, but here's the deal. You can spin a story about that so many ways. If you're a sales coach, hey, I am looking forward to helping you grow your business. Here's a little something for the summer for you to grow on your own. Yeah, I mean, what else could you do with this? We've had, it's all about growth, right? Or something to get you outdoors. Any kind of coach, really, because what you do is you focus on growth. And what you're reminding them of is the milestone of the work you're doing together. And so
right.
they're
going to a new beginning and the emergence of the plant from the soil and all of those. I mean, there's a way to connect with that in so many ways. I get it. Yeah. That makes huge sense. That makes huge sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is fantastic. So talk to me just a little bit then about the makers. I want to go back. We kind of glossed over it. I want to go back to the fact is that you have this army of women. So you have a client that then comes out and says, here's my budget. And we're going to talk, I want to talk a little bit about pricing and we'll keep it at a very high level, but I want to give the listeners an idea of what this, you know, how this fits into their budget and when it comes to their marketing and what has to be given up. What do we have to, where do we trade the dollars? If we're already spending marketing dollars, how do I trade those dollars for something that the expressory does? But before we get there, So I come to you and I say, I have these 10 clients and these 10 clients came to this particular event or they did something and I want to do something special for these 10 clients. And I'd like to have your, you know, personally curated cards that ties them to this event and ties them to me. And then I give you the story. If I understand correctly, you're then going to go to your army and mm-hmm. say, ladies, I need this particular card idea. I need this. And then you're going to employ them. They're going to create something. You're then going to buy that and they're going to make a margin. And then you're going to mark it up to sell it to your client. So you're actually employing this group of makers all over the world or all over however far how far flung you guys are. But you are then passing on that you don't have to have a room full of people sitting in a shop making these or printing them. You're actually doing them on a semi-custom, I'm assuming, or even custom basis on an as needed, right? Do I have that anywhere close to right?
Well, in some cases, yes, we do. We definitely do custom. We have some of the women who are very good at, you know, taking brand colors, even working in the logos. They can cut those things and work that into the design, the layout of the card. So we can get that specific. And we do it frequently for the basics. So we're talking, you're thanking someone, you're showing someone appreciation, your birthdays, anniversaries. We stock those things. So on a regular basis, we're kind of forecasting how many we're going through on a monthly basis. And we put out design calls to our designers across the US. And we say, okay, you know, we're getting ready. We need to restock birthdays. And so they will submit. Now, here's the thing. Because they make and because of the tools they use, you can't mass produce these things. And so what we do is we ask them, submit your latest designs. Our designs are always fresh because we're purchasing in small batches. And then we match the cards, you know.
I got it. Okay. So you put out a design sort of built to your specification. You say, I need a thank you card and here's my budget. And they submit a design that says, I can make that for $2 or I can make that for $6 or whatever it is. And you say, great, go make that card. And I need 10 of them.
Exactly.
And then you'll buy those 10 and so you're still employing people all over the United States that, I mean, that is the idea of work from home. You have just hit, I mean, that's why I was saying is you're saving the world because if I'm a scrapbooker and I love what I do and I have spent literally, I mean, I know, I don't know a lot about scrapbooking, but I have tangentially experienced it and I know the tens of thousands of dollars you can spend on.
Yep.
On paper and ribbon. I didn't know you could spend so much money, but
we love that.
Yeah. So here I am. I have this hobby or I have this thing where I create these things at my home, pictures of my grandkids and my kids and my family. And I have done these for years and I have tens of thousands of dollars invested. And all of a sudden I get this request from this company called The Expressory. It says, make me 10, you know, thank you cards, and I'll pay you for them. And all of a sudden, I can offset some of that cost. And mm-hmm. if they've got a good CPA and they've got a good, yeah. Anyway, I can just go off. We could go. We could go down that rabbit hole because I'm a business guy, and I'm looking at it as I could now take that hobby and turn it into a small business and end up writing off all of those tens of thousands of dollars of supplies on my taxes.
You bet. And these women, they have been with me for the 4 years I've been doing this.
So that's so great.
Right, when I did the pivot, it's now moved from, okay, we don't want designs that are cutesy with the animals on it for the birthdays and things
right,
like that.
Exactly.
We need, you know, and we put out kind of a playbook on, you know, these are businesses sending these. Here's kind of the style guide. And they make to that. And I'm telling you, it is like Christmas every time we get in these submissions of designs.
And every one of them is unique in some way, shape, or form because they're all handmade.
They are, absolutely.
So even if they're the same, theoretically the same design, everyone has its own person. I'm so excited to get to your Instagram. I mean, I gotta get this interview over because I got to go look at your Instagram right now and find out. I mean, I bet you've got pictures that are crazy on there.
Oh, the cards are probably pretty low in there right now. We've been trying to focus more on like helping with the messaging lately. Because as you said, it's what's interesting, Scott. This has been an interesting ride. You know, it used to be coming from a place of the cards and, you know, winning people over on just the love of that. And now where we provide the most value is let us plant that seed of here's the messaging, triggers. This is what I call it. Where one of the biggest needs I think that businesses have is what are the opportunities to even get in front of people? I get birthdays and I get anniversary, but you know, I'm sitting here in June and I really want to reach out to people because we've just spent 2-3 months at home. What's my reason to get in front of them? Well, I'll tell you what, you know, here are your triggers. Here are the stories to use to put your message in front of people.
And well, so if you want to plant that seed, I know a lady that'll send a lollipop full of seeds that'll grow into a great plant.
You see, this is, yes. Listen, we've all been stuck. I mean, you know, one of the other things is this is typically a time of vacation and not many people
are out and about.
You know, so what kind of package could you put in front of your client that gives them an instant vacation?
Exactly.
There's
this just, you've blown my mind. My guest today, in case you're just tuning in, my guest today is Jamie Shibley. She is the CEO of The Expressory, and we have just gotten absolutely schooled in what it's like to be a relationship concierge. She has completely blown my mind. She has taken me down this path. I am exhausted because she has just drugged me along this path of stop sending an email and a text. Secondly, stop sending a Hallmark card. You need to step up your game. And so it has been, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. So what's next for The Expressory? And tell us a little bit about the budget that my listeners need to know. And then how do we engage with you? How do I find you? How do I stand on the mountaintop and shout to the world that, hey, you need to be stepping up your relationship concierge game?
These are great questions. There's so many. So yes, let's go back to, you know, what do people need to know? What kind of plans do we need to have in our marketing budget? What do we need to trade for this? And I think that's the first place many of us miss this, right? Is that this needs to be built into your overall marketing strategy. And it doesn't have to take that much money away from everything else you do. You know, what if 5% of it was reinvested in building relationships? The stats we like to talk about, you've heard that it costs, 5-7% more to gain a new customer than it does to nurture and retain the ones you already have. So, but how many people are actually focusing on that retention?
None.
Right? We all think I've got to be out there on social media. I got to get more. Where are my numbers?
Right.
Now, the stat that comes up is when a customer does repeat, they spend 31% more. How much is that customer repeating, multiple customers repeating, worth in your business over the course of a year? So when we work with customers, with a new client, listen, when you engage with us, it's we set you up in an ongoing service. And there's a one-time setup fee today. There will be, like, for the concierge level service, we're working on launching a package for that that will come with an ongoing monthly fee so that you can reach out to us anytime that you have an instance of, hey, I just landed this hot new referral. They were worth this much to me. What do you have in this gift's price range? And we run with that for you. So that I put in our concierge level. But when we set you up with service, our onboarding comes with, we're going to talk through your overall customer journey with you. And we're going to find 2-3 touch points in there that you should be consistently plugging away at. What are you doing when you get referrals? What are you doing to welcome a new customer? And we mean consistently, so that every time that instance happens, you're sending us that contact information and we know what to execute.
Exactly.
So we're starting to have a number of clients come to us who they already know this is important. They've been giving, they've been gifting each time they welcome new customers. And now their business has grown so much, they don't want their people doing this in-house anymore. So they already know, here are the 5 levels of gifts we give to our clients. Here, Expressory, you just executed for us.
Right. That makes perfect sense. I tell, as a business coach, I tell people all the time is, if you're not spending 100% of the margin that you make on a referral on paying that referee, you'll never get another one. So if that referral is worth $100 to you, you should be making sure that that $100, whether it's in kind in services or in cash, you need to make sure that $100 is going to the person who referred you. Because if that customer's lifetime is worth $10,000 and then you just paid $100 for it, you are way money ahead. But if you don't know, I also tell people too, is if you don't know the cost, the life equivalent of what that client is worth. These are real basic business questions that you're asking. So you're telling you're going to your client and saying, you know, I need you to know what it takes to get a client, how much is your customer acquisition, and what are you saving with a referral, and what's the life expectancy of that client, and how much is he going to make you over the life of him being connected to you. So those are basic business questions you need to ask, and that's fantastic. I mean, I love that the Expressory is asking you these questions, because that's like business coaching 101.
Yeah, you know, because so we have a client who was consistently sending nurturing gifts because she regularly talks, she has podcasts and she regularly interviews people. And what she shared is that in the course of a year of sending gifts, now this is just like, this is a gift. They're not even clients of hers. She just happened to have a conversation with them, right? And she is spending good money on them. But in the course of a year, I shouldn't say but, it's an and, in the course of a year, she converted 27% of those people into clients. What is that worth to you?
Right. Yeah. Because if that client's worth a lifetime earnings of $10,000, you just put $2.7 million or something in your coffers, you know?
Yeah. So and the thing is, I get it. You know, people, a lot of people, this is great. I'm going to do this. You're right. And they'll go start it. And then it falls by the wayside. We have the best intentions. I get that. And that's where we come into play, is we want to make it easy for people to express these things consistently, because it's the consistency, the consistent giving of gratitude over time that leads to those relationships that are going to rave about you.
And do you also help your clients understand the ROI and the tracking? Because if they're the thing I would be scared of is that my client, if I were with the Expressory and I had brought a client, I would want them to understand what the ROI. I mean, you just mentioned that there's 27% of those clients got converted. I mean, if you're not teaching your client those numbers, or if you're not tracking or helping them track those numbers, then it could literally be lost in the wash. I mean, you could be awash with new customers and not realize that it's a direct result from the gift giving. So you need to make you know, make it your clients acutely aware of where that, you know, information is coming from and why those clients are coming. And that's part of the second phase, which is like, you know, how do I then keep them engaged and how do I get that new information from those clients? You know, you understand why they came back, why they stay with me. You know, those are questions that you have to ask when you're engaged with the client.
This is true. With one of the, over the last 9 months now, we have systems in place where we are finally able to see those patterns for people. And we're starting to see a number of our clients where their business is growing, right? And we know what they're sending in that given year. And so we are working to implement as part of that new concierge service, those types of reviews with the clients that, listen, here's the pattern we see just from your giving, your welcome gifts, right? You're welcoming month over month, you're spending more. So your business is obviously growing. You know, what is the budget for the next year? And where else do you think maybe it would benefit you to add on? Because what else could you do? The other piece of it that we want to help people see is the increased engagement. And that comes because there is, what I'm working on is developing this case to show people that there seems to be, it's cyclical. A lot of our clients will say, I want to start here. I want to start sending these thank you cards. And they, in their worlds, they're starting small. But once they start receiving the praise and they see the engagement, we see them adding more, right? Oh, now they're suddenly giving for all these one-off reasons. I'll think about the engagement that's happening. And we tell people, the other thing that starts to happen is your recipients are raving about you online. Look at this gift that just showed up and they're posting about it. And now you've got the eyeballs of all their followers as well. And, you know, people in sponsorships and stuff, you know, the value of that. Now Absolutely. Everybody wants to know, well, what does Scott do? Why did he send that gift? You know,
okay. Like, you've sold me. I don't stop selling. You've sold me. I am absolutely stepping up my game. All right. Well, my guest today is Jamie Shibley, and she is the CEO of Expressory, and she has just opened my eyes and removed the scales. I am so, so thankful that you were a guest today. So tell us, how do our listeners engage with you? I know it's the Expressory, 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 theexpressory.com. Go to the website, but there's a blog there. You can connect with your blog and get good information. You can get the first consultation and call for free. Is that right? I mean, you will, if you reach out, connect, and you'll have a consultative call with people.
Yeah. So let's get on the phone. If you want, email us at info@theexpressory.com. And we can schedule some time to chat about your own customer journey and what touch points might make sense for your brand.
And you're on all the social media platforms. I'm assuming you're on Facebook and Instagram and all those places where we can find you. And we'll put all of those links and contacts and everything else up for you at inspirednewsradio.com, where you go to and, you know, click on my show, Mind Your Own Business, and there'll be Jamie's smiling face and mine. And you click on the show, and in the show notes, we'll have all of the information and links that you need to be able to interact with the Expressory. Jamie, I can't believe this hour has flown by. I have so many more questions.
Oh, this was fun. Thank you so much. I'm glad we could have this conversation.
I am too. And now I've got to hire somebody to send you a gift. Oh my God. The stress, the pressure. Oh my God. The pressure. Anyway, my guest today has been Jamie Shibley. She has just absolutely opened my eyes to being a relationship concierge, and the company is called The Expressory. And you can go to theexpressory.com and find out more. I say it every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, from me to you. I could not do what I do without you, the listener. You guys are the lifeblood of what we do here. Your comments, your your messaging from social media, your listening, wherever you get your podcasts, go to the bottom of that page right now. Just scroll right down to the bottom and please hit that subscribe button. And if you're so inclined, leave us a review and say, hey, I loved it, I hated it, whatever. We love the feedback and we love you no matter what. We appreciate it. If you loved it, tell 10 people. If you didn't like it, call me and we'll have a conversation about it. I absolutely adore the fact that you have taken an hour out of your life and listened to me and some of my guests ramble on about business. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't do what I do without you, the listener, and I mean it. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks, Jamie, for being a guest today. And as I sign off every week, like I always do, hey, mind your own business because nobody else is going to.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs of the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio.com. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.
Lay an egg and make chicken soup. That's the title of an Amazon best-selling book that every investor, executive, first-time entrepreneur, or business owner needs to read. Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup is not just a how-to book. It's a roadmap detailing the risks and potential blind spots that await you as you present your new products or services to the world at large. The author of Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup, Ari Brish, is a cross-functional expert in commercializing innovation, creating growth strategies, and overall change leadership. With Ari's rich experience, you couldn't get a better guide. And using Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup as the roadmap, your success is closer than you think. Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup, available at Amazon or on Ari's website, www.cxo360.net. That's www.cxo360.net. Get your copy today.